Welcome, everybody. It's another beautiful day in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm your host, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, and I think we have a great show ahead. Something a little bit different. As I had told you maybe in a previous podcast, I had gotten a field recorder and was trying to experiment a little bit working with people outside of the studio, and I was invited to actually do the prayer, the invocation, at the Nextel All-Star Race, a big NASCAR race in Charlotte, North Carolina at Lowe's Motor Speedway. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to see if I could record it. And interesting experience to say a prayer in front of 170,000 people. You don't do that every day. I certainly have never done that before. And so I thought it was interesting, and hopefully you'll find it interesting as well. You'll give me your comments and feedback. Let me know how you think this field recording goes, the sound-seeing tour, so to speak. And something else that seemed to make sense was maybe to take a previous interview we did with Humpy Wheeler, who's the president of Lowe's Motor Speedway, and combine it with this sound-seeing tour of the Nextel All-Star Race. Humpy's a great guy, and most of these interviews I do are anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes, and there's some great material in there, but I try to keep the podcast moving, and so these interviews usually on each podcast are only maybe about 4 minutes, 5 minutes or so, and so there's a lot of good material there from each one of these interviews that I do. So we may just run a second part of the Humpy Wheeler interview, and hopefully that'll work. So let's get started. Well, I'm just on my way now to the Nextel Cup All-Star Race up at Lowe's Motor Speedway, and I am going to be giving the invocation this evening. So I thought I might try to record this as we went through the process. I don't know how it'll turn out, but we're going to give it a shot. So see you soon. Well, I've just arrived at the track, and if you've never been to a NASCAR event, you've never seen anything like this. It's really phenomenal. Everything is covered. It's just incredible. So I'm going to be getting a ride over to the track. They're actually sending a golf cart for me. That sounds a little spoiled, doesn't it? But I will need to go out here and find the guy, and I'll give you a little bit more as we go. So there are just thousands of people here at this event. It is really remarkable. As far as the eye can see, you got cars, you got people, and they're all heading towards the stadium. And I hope to get in there soon, and as the race starts, and I'm hoping maybe I'll be even able to get this down onto the infield. Maybe you get to hear the invocation I'm going to give and some other things, whatever events or activities they have going on. So. So as you might be able to hear, I'm down actually on the track right now, and they've just set up the stands, and we're getting ready to start the festivities here. People are getting kind of fired up, and remarkable view, and hopefully you can hear me over the rest of the crowd that's here. Well, what they bring out here on the track is pretty amazing. The truck, 18-wheel rig, brings the whole stage. It's hard to describe to you, but picture a stage that you've seen at a concert, and it's somehow laid on top of a flatbed, and they just drive it right down the track with a 18-wheel rig pulling it, pull it right up on the center where the starting line is, and it has covered with NASCAR Nextel Cup Series. They're now lining up all the drivers behind it, which everybody on the front can't see yet, but they'll actually climb the steps, and as they get announced, they'll come through the door on the front side and, I guess, wave to the crowd and maybe make some presentations of awards and so forth. So hopefully you'll hear a little bit more as we keep going here. They're now about to start announcing the actual drivers. They've gone through pit crews and all kinds of people that are sponsoring, and As you can hear, some drivers aren't as liked as much as others. What they basically do, the drivers, they walk up the back, as I said before, and they kind of come down this entrance and sort of make an appearance. And in front of this stage are, I bet about 60 photojournalists. You got cameras, TV cameras, and so forth all over the front, and they
all snapping, clicking their pictures as each of the drivers comes down. And obviously you hit some of the racing favorites like, you know, Jeff Gordon and Casey Kane and some of the others. You hear a much louder applause than with some of the other drivers.
Bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord, we ask you to watch over and protect everyone here today. We ask you to help us, fans, drivers, team support personnel, to make sport what you intended it to be, a means for developing virtue. We give you all glory and honor and dedicate ourselves to making NASCAR and motorsport a shining example of what sport can be when you are placed at its center. We reclaim all of sport in your name. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So I'd like to introduce today our guest. It's H.A. Humpy Wheeler. He is currently the president and general manager of Lowe's Motor Speedway. He has quite an extensive athletic background, which he's probably cringing as I read it off here to you, but I almost couldn't list it all. But he played at the University of South Carolina, played football there, was an outstanding amateur boxer with Golden Gloves, 40-2 record, actually inducted into the Carolina Boxing Hall of Fame. He's also inducted into the National Motorsports Hall of Fame, and again, the list of Hall of Fames by itself could take us a while to read through, because I think there's at least four others. Interestingly, he was the voice of Tex on the Disney Pixar animated feature called Cars, and he was very instrumental, kind of the key person, if you will, to bring the first four-year motorsport business management program to Belmont Abbey College, and most recently, he was the winner of Sport at the Service of the Spirit Award, which is given out and kind of the basis of this whole podcast and everything else. So, Humpy, I just want to welcome you to this podcast.
Well, Bill, I'm delighted to be on it. Always welcome any opportunity that I can spend with you, and want to tell everybody out there that's listening that this whole program is, I think, touches what America's all about.
That's great. Well, before I maybe get into it, I bet there's some interest in how did you get involved with Cars? And I guess one of the questions people will ask is, when you did that voice of Tex in the Cars movie, how did that work? I mean, do you get to see the film, or do you just read this off, or how does that happen?
Well, John Lasseter, who's the genius behind Pixar, and I became friends back in 1999 on a visit out to California. And at that time, he was working on The Incredibles and Finding Nemo, and he told me he wanted to do an animated motion picture on racing, and so I he asked me if I'd help him with it, and I did, and I did as much as I could, and brought him to Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte, and he spent a couple days here, and then took him to Texas Speedway and Bristol and Atlanta, et cetera, and helped indoctrinate him into racing, and one day he just simply said, I was out there working with him on some script things, which I agreed to help him with, and he said, well, listen, I got this crazy car from, because you know everybody in Cars is a car.
That's right.
I got this crazy car from Texas with bullhorns on it, and I'd like for you to be the voice behind it. And of course, never having done that before, I said, well, gee, I might set animated motion pictures back 25 or 30 years, John, but right. If you want me to do it, I will. So the way they do those things is they get you in a studio. You don't see, you know what the scene is, but you don't see it while you're doing that. And you're actually, they give you a script. And John Lasseter himself works with you, and he is so great bringing out the best in people. He had just gotten through with Paul Newman because Paul plays the Hudson. hornet in it, and he had, and he just he of course Paul Newman's the consummate actor, but
right.
he really got the best of him out of it. So it took two trips out there to say 12 lines, but it was fun, and it took a while. They're just so perfection oriented, and really you don't follow the script much. I mean, if it says, "Boy, you really did a good thing today," you can say pretty much what you want to, as long as it says that. Hey, you did good today, boy. You know, you can kind of float it along like that. That's the way he likes to do it because it's more natural and.
Right.
So he did a great job on it. It's been translated into, I think, 35 languages now, including Tagalog, which I didn't know was a Polynesian dialect.
Wow.
So
it sounds like, you know, to one, that's a challenging kind of thing to have to like read these lines out and not actually be able to really see what it is that you're kind of animating, if you will. But it kind of segues into the challenges of maybe, you know, sharing with us what are some of the most challenging things about, you know, running Lowe's Motor Speedway.
Well, I think it's dealing with mega crowds, dealing with crowds in excess of 170,000. You literally have to set up the same things that you have in a town that size for that day. You have to have a hospital.
Right.
You've got to have fire, police, lots of plumbers, et cetera, and making sure those people are safe and secure, and also getting onto the field itself, which is the track, making sure that the drivers are well protected, that safety precautions are there for them, and that you prepare the racing surface so that they can race as much as possible. There's probably no sport in existence, maybe outside of golf, where the preparation of the surface is more important than racing.
Wow.
And you can do a lot to make the track better. Some people are artists at that, and we like to think that we do a pretty good job here because we've had some extremely good races, and we've had some, you know, 6-inch finishes after at the Cocoa 600, which is 600 miles, and that's pretty incredible to have close finishes at the end of a race that long.
Well, I was going to say, I asked you what was one of the most challenging things about running it, and you know, it's the people. Is it also one of the most fun parts?
Yeah, it is, because you get to race fans are really good people. They're just average Americans. And they tend to be very solid and salt of the earth type of people. And again, you've got half of them are coming from more than 250 miles. Lots of people from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Canada, Connecticut, etc. So you're caring for them, and the caring part is probably the most important thing that we do. Making sure that if somebody has an emergency at home, that we can get to them real fast, aid them in getting home, or if someone has a health problem, which you do when you have that many people together, that they're cared for in a proper way. And we even have counselors on site in case people, you know,
yeah,
go over the edge. Today in America, there's so much the mental problems that exist are just epidemic, and so you even have to you don't have to think about that in the care aspect. So that's the important thing. I tell the folks here that work here, actually takes about 6,500 people to produce the event. And we have about 160 full-time people. I tell the full-time people two things. I say, one, I said, if we do nothing else but put a little bit of Technicolor in the black and white lives of people, we've touched them, made them happy for a mini period of time, but maybe that'll keep them going another 6 months.
Right.
And we're not curing cancer. We're not missionaries. We're not doing that important kind of work, but we're entertaining people. And then I say, look, don't get serious about this thing because, you know, 1,000 years from now when the archaeologists dig this thing up and they come down to the grandstands and they see the concrete riser and treads, they're going to say, you know, we found the same thing in Rome and Greece, meaning the old Colosseum and so forth.
Right.
And they're going to see these little chicken bones the fans throw away. And they said, the only difference is the people were awfully small here.
Well, this is it. They're coming around. They have one lap to go. And I think there's one lap to go right now in this segment. So let's see what happens. They still have about a half a lap to go on the pace car bringing them around. Well, everybody in the stadium has just stood up because this is the lap. Pace car is coming off on pit row. Here they go. This is the one lap. You're going to hear them again. Here they come. Here they go. Whoa. These guys are practically bumping each other right off the starting line. I'll be amazed if they get around this lap without any accidents. There they go. Oh, there they go. These guys are just trying so desperately to make it that, you know, here they come. You can just see it. They know it's one lap to go, and they're willing to almost do anything to get position, and they get too close, and they bump somebody at these speeds. That's all it takes. Well, they just started up again, and believe it or not, there's another crash. Fortunately, I don't believe anybody was hurt. Nobody was hurt in the first one either. But the crews that they have here and the preparation they have for any kind of events that may happen, from, you know, people being physically injured, people even in the stands as far as EMS goes and so forth. You know, as I look down, I can see there's fire extinguishers probably every, you know, 50 feet or so around every fence that's here, you know, between the fans and the track. Again, the truck's going back out with the vacuums that are going to try to vacuum up any debris that might be on the track. And I think, you know, part of sometimes when you have crashes like this, it's very competitive. And I think there's a sense that, you know, you don't have a whole race to get in position. These are short 20-lap races. And so I think they lend themselves to people taking probably more chances and, you know, really pushing the envelope and getting maybe closer than they really can. So again, I'll be back with you in a bit here when they get the race starting back up. But one other thing I'll just share with you as I watch out also is that it's an amazing culture here. Almost everybody in the stands has these headphones that they purchase, and it's wired or radio waves in such a way that they can listen to the drivers in their cars, they can listen to the pit crews, they can listen to the commentary on radio depending on what channel they put on. So it does two things. One is it keeps everybody very involved in the race and hearing what's going on, and the other thing is it protects your ears, because I am telling you, this is incredibly loud. I'll be back. As they come around again now, I think this is getting ready for the restart. But each of these caution laps, you know, where they're you know, they have to maintain their order in the caution laps. Nobody can pass each other. But each one of the caution laps actually counts in this race. So we're talking about two 20-lap segments, and already they're up to 13 laps. I think they probably only raced maybe three of them or four of them. But what it tells me is that with 13 down and seven to go in this segment, you got a feeling there's going to be maybe a few more wrecks or bumps just because people are really desperate, and knowing with seven laps to go, they've got to try to make a move if they can. So I'll be back. Well, actually, maybe I'll stay with you right now because I think the pace car is about to come down off the track. Here it comes. And here they come again and again. I'm not able to hear what this recording sounds like, but maybe you'll be able to hear these engines as it takes off. Here they go. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's... you can feel it up here. But here they go again. Wow, these cars are really close to each other. Whoa. It is unbelievable. Here they come. They are flying and pushing, and the speed they're moving at is really just amazing. Here he comes. Wow. So that's lap 15, 5 to the halfway. When you watch these cars go down the back straight from where I am, the amount of ground they cover is just mind-boggling how fast they're going. And what's amazing, you know, from a sports psychology standpoint, you know, my interest in... I don't know if you can hear me over that sound, but, you know, what interests me is... They're moving at this speed that, you know, you make one mistake at this kind of speed and you're done. And they are flying, and the concentration it takes. Now, this is a short race format, but typically, you know, a 500-mile race, a 600-mile race, like next week's the Coca-Cola 600, which I'm also supposed to be at. Here he comes. Number 99, the Office Depot car is really opening up a big lead. They are really spread out now. Another caution lap. Somebody got hit behind, got clipped. So that was lap 17 they just finished. And when they come around again, I believe that'll be lap 18. Well, the way this works now is they're on the 20th lap. In the 20th lap, cars are given an opportunity to come into the pit if they want. They don't have to, and if they come off the track, though, they lose their track position. They don't get it back. So some of the cars that were towards the back of the race decided the strategy was come in and get some change of tires, and probably not fuel, but probably tires. But it's amazing to watch the pit crews work. They're really an incredible team, coordinated team of individuals, and the speed with which they work, that's amazing. You know, 13, 14 seconds to, you know, change four tires, put in full fuel, you know, whatever else might be needed. It's really, really remarkable. When I first came to Charlotte area, I got to work with Ray Everham's group, Everham Racing, and went up and met with them and talked to them a little bit about ways to even maybe get sharper in terms of their focus and precision of what they were doing. So it's very interesting to actually watch them in action at a race. And although the format of this one is a little bit different, it in some ways that makes it even more interesting because each pit stop and each move has a greater consequence because of the brevity of the race. I told you there's all kinds of things going on here at the raceway, and I'm just looking up at this blimp. It says, it looks like it's Jinn, J-I-N-N on it, but it has a huge television screen on the side of the blimp. And, you know, the old days, the blimps that would fly over stadiums just had the electronic, you know, letters that would scroll across it. this is like a full television screen. It's almost, you know, at least half the length of the entire blimp. I mean, I'm watching the race up in the sky right now. It's like amazing. Thought you might be interested in hearing about that. I've never seen a blimp like this before. Must be one of the, you know, most recent cutting edge ones made. Amazing. I just thought I'd make a comment about this. The race, this 40-lap segment to find two more drivers that are going to be in this Nextel, you know, all-star challenge for the $1 million, was an exciting race. You know, they finished up change of lead a couple times and very exciting finish. But one of the things as they prepare now to get the full race under event, you just wouldn't believe the speed with which they came out and just set up this staging area. This is as complete and high-tech a stage as you've ever seen anywhere. They brought it out on these 18-wheel rigs. They brought out the power source that went in behind it. It was literally like a pit crew the way they came out. They had spots that they stopped on. They backed these things up. They got the rigs off. They have the, and it's gigantic. This thing must be at least 100 feet long. The backdrop has full lights that you'd have with any kind of, you know, full concert, you know, of anybody you'd go see. These unbelievable huge flat panel screens, you know, that each one must be about, I don't know, 10, 15 feet high by about 30 feet long. And then on, you know, in front of the stage, they also brought out these two incredibly long overextended versions of a flatbed with, you know, four different stanchions of stadium lights to light up the stage. They have music, they got bands, they have different levels to the stage. And they literally set it up, I'd say, in 10 minutes at most. It's just really phenomenal. You would think it's a permanent fixture that had been here forever. So thought I'd just share that with you, because it's sometimes the behind-the-scenes stuff that you really don't get to see. They also do something interesting where they, for this particular race, they have a military soldier carrying a stanchion with the banner and the number and the colors of each car that's in the race. And behind that marches the pit crew, and they walk around the perimeter of the stadium, you know. So it's it just adds, you know, Humpy Wheeler's a great showman and knows how to put on a great event. And it's just an example where he's constantly thinking of ways to engage the fans and the people and the event. It's really tremendous. And now all the cars that are in the race are being driven up to be presented in front of the stands. And again, I don't know who the band is going to be that's playing, but looks good.
Well, that was my first try at, quote, field recording, and I hope you liked it. But I'd like to know what you did think about it. Give me your thoughts. I greatly appreciate your comments and feedback. You can contact us at our listener line, which is 206-203-1301. Or you can write to me at feedback@reclaimthegame.com. And I'd also ask you to check out the website again, www.reclaimthegame.com. And remember to put in your vote for the Sport the Service of the Spirit Award, which we're looking to find a candidate for this year, and we've already gotten some nominations, but I'd like to get as many as possible before we make a selection. So I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Take care and God bless.
This week's music was Mellow Gus by Electric Pimps, available at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.